Hello, and welcome to Monumental, where we sit down with entrepreneurs, leaders, visionaries, and big thinkers making monumental change. Here's your host, Evan Holliday.
Welcome to Monumental. I'm your host, Evan Holliday, and today on the show, we have on with us Adrian Salazar. Adrian, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Excited, ready to share some value with your listeners, and just keep going, keep moving forward.
Exciting. Yes, I love it. So Adrian, a little background on him. He is a 24-year-old real estate entrepreneur located in San Antonio, Texas. He's doing this interview right now from McAllen, Texas, which I love. There's a little backstory behind that. Adrian spent the first couple years of his young professional life in direct sales and transitioned into real estate at the age of 18. Over the next 3 years, he wholesaled or fixed and flipped over 100 single family residential homes. And he has since turned his focus to multifamily apartment investing, and to date has been a part of multiple wholesale transactions and has syndicated a 16, 32, and a 9 unit, and for a total of 57 units under management. That is pretty impressive for only 24 years old. I'm blown away, Adrian. So why don't you give our listeners a little background into kind of your story and how you got to where you are today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, man. So just a little bit of a background. I kind of got quote unquote bit by the entrepreneurial bug when I was 16, going on 17, when a friend of mine introduced me to multi-level marketing. Right now, a lot of people are not a big fan of MLMs and stuff. But, at the time, I got introduced to the idea of, owning my own business, right? Owning my own business and being able to, sell products and have, groups of people listen to me speak and sell the products to them, and then have them sell products to them. And then, it just grows like that, right? And, but the big thing about that start of my journey was, my mentors in the company introduced me to books like Think and Grow Rich, like The Magic of Thinking Big, Bob Proctor, Jim Rohn, all those people, Tony Robbins, that really, drastically changed the course of my, my life, my career, just how I think, my mental, decisions that are made every day. I mean, the background started off with these guys. And so, the company went kind of down, and, I was in it for about 2 years, built a large organization, people in, Germany, Australia, Mexico, that were in my organization. I was making some residual income. And during the time, I really started developing my mind to think big, right? To think big and to, really take massive action in order to get where I want to go. So company fell. And I saw some ads on Facebook about a real estate seminar going on in San Antonio. So I decided to attend. It was a Robert Kiyosaki real estate seminar. I thought he was going to be there, but it was just one of his coaches. And so everyone in the room was talking about real estate and, foreclosures, how they're rising. And
old were you at this time?
I was 17. So wow. I was a freshman in college. And so I attended this event. And at the end of the event, I'll never forget, the guy pretty much asked everybody in the room, who's done more than 5 deals and who's done only one, or who hasn't done any and who's done over 20 deals. And so what the guy said was, the person in the room who raises their hand has done over 20 deals, and the person who hasn't done any, you should probably be shaking their hand and trying to see how you can provide some value to them. And so that's exactly what I did. Got up, shook a hand. Long story short, got introduced to a RIA, one of the Real Estate Investor Association networking events. And I attended, right? And I signed up for the RIA. And it was just like a game changer for me. I heard the guy up there speaking, and I was like, dude, I can do that. I can do just what this guy's doing. It's not hard. If he can do it, I can do it. I'm more of a hustler than he is. Let's do this, right? So I ended up finding a mentor in the real estate space, and he was a wholesaler. So he was wholesaling houses, and he had started in New York, and he had moved down, and he was willing to teach, someone that was willing to learn. Right. And he gave me a few things to do. We met over coffee, gave me a few things to do, and I did them like within a few days, He saw drive in me. He saw, you know, something that he didn't see in other people. So we ended up partnering up. And, you know, he gave me a list of houses to go and start knocking on. He gave me a list of things to do to generate leads because I didn't have money. You know, I didn't have $10, $20, $30,000 to go buy a flip or, you know, to send out massive postcards everywhere. I didn't have the money, but I had, you know, a car, I had gas, right? And I had, you know, the ability to just get down and start knocking on doors. So, you know, we ended up building a single family, you know, wholesaling company. And, you know, I was in charge of all the acquisitions after a certain amount of time, right? Learning the business. And I mean, I was banging phone calls. I was knocking on doors and getting contracts and, you know, wholesaling these contracts, making $5,000-$10,000. But, you know, what a lot of people don't like, I get a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, you know, I want to get started in real estate. You know, what should I do? And then, you know, I give them a few things to do and then they're expecting a check like right away. And they, you know, I want to get paid. I didn't get a check for a year. Like I worked for free for my mentor just to learn the business. You know, if I wanted a check, I would go get a job, right? I would go get a job somewhere that pays me a check. So I worked for free for a good year to learn the business. And then ever since then, dude, I mean, we started wholesaling houses. You know, started learning how to find off-market deals that like really changed my course of my multifamily career as well. Like just the ability to be resourceful enough to say like, no, there's deals out there. Like there's deals out there. So I brought those tactics over to multifamily. And you know, me and my current business partner right now, I actually brought him into real estate when I was younger. And we started wholesaling houses, but he took off into multifamily. And so I started seeing his success in multifamily and I was like, dude, I can do that. You know, it's how many houses is it going to take for me to wholesale to make just enough that you just made on this 12 unit, you know, like, so long story short, we, you know, we partnered up, we started, you know, doing some deals in multifamily. And I mean, now we have that portfolio and it's growing, you know, and it's just, it's nonstop. Right. But it's been a journey. But it's just one that like I've failed. I've had doors shut in my face. I've had people hung up on me. You know, I'm still going. I will not stop. Like I just won't stop. And so, you know, that's the kind of drive that I think you need to have in order to be successful in real estate these days.
You know? And I can just feel your drive over the call. Dude, I mean, that's impressive, man. It just seems like you have this tenacious energy, this like go-getter, like nothing will stop you energy. And it shows, I mean, your track record at such a young age, it's phenomenal, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think, like, you know, one thing too is not just, you know, making five calls, like 10X everything, right? To make, you know, 100 calls, you know, don't stop until you knock on 100 doors. Like, don't stop. Like, you know, how big are your goals and how bad do you want them? Right. And your actions have to back it up. They have to, you know, and I mean, if you don't know the answers to something, you go to events and you meet people and you figure out a way to provide enough value to them to sit down and have them share some info with you, right? And go and run with it. And I think that's what helped me on like at an early age for people to take me seriously, because I mean, a lot of people were like, you know, tripping out when I was knocking on, you know, doors in the ghetto in the South Side, like, you know, the houses that were in foreclosure, those, I don't know, for those of y'all who don't know, I mean, those owners are pissed off already. Like they're already pissed off. So that kind of helped me also overcome objections, like in the long run, being able to, you know, overcome that stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been fun though, you know, it's been fun. And, you know, one thing too, that like, I like a lot is that, you know, what I preach, I've done it, right? Like I won't tell somebody, you know, to go knock on this door or cold call this owner or call that for rent sign of that apartment complex, try to see if it's the owner of the complex. Like if I haven't done it, like I've done it, you know, and I'll do it again if you need me to, you know? And so I think that's the kind of like mentality and drive you got to have in order to be successful, especially with a family.
So walk me through that first deal you did when you transitioned from wholesaling to multifamily investing.
So the first, I mean, my first apartment deal was a wholesale. It was a wholesale deal. It was an 8-unit that I wholesaled here in McAllen, actually. And that one was, I mean, I'll walk you through my first syndication, the 16-unit.
Yeah.
That one was pretty intense. So it was a 16-unit apartment syndication. I sent out postcards. I just gathered a list from, you know, list source and sent out postcards. Hey, my name's Adrian. I'm a multifamily investor based out of San Antonio. You know, we're looking to acquire more properties for our portfolio. If you have ever been interested in selling, you know, 123 Main Street, please give me a call. And that postcard hit, he gave me a call, met with him, you know, a couple days later, toured the property, got some numbers, you know, analyzed the deal, sent him some offers, got it under contract. And I think we got it for like 30K a door. And it was just, it was a solid deal, home run. And, you know, me and my partner looked at each other like, dude, this is going to be our first syndication. Like, let's make it happen right now. Now what do we do? Right. Like the mentality of take three steps forward and figure it out. Right. So, so then we ended up, you know, calling a few of our investors and, you know, some of them started saying yes, cause we had already been establishing our presence, right. And our brand. And, you know, that's an important thing as well. Like you gotta watch out for his brand, but, yeah. And we, you know, we got under contract. I think I gave him like $100 of earnest money. You know, I walked out with a blank contract, just his signatures on the bottom. Like he just trusted me so much. And, you know, I was able to build enough rapport with him that, you know, I just filled out the contract later and it was pretty intense. And, you know, we still have that deal today and we're actually, planning on getting out, exiting the deal here probably in the next 4 months. To capture all the forced appreciation that we got.
I love it. So how many deals did you look at before you were able to get that one through the postcard?
Probably like maybe 40 or 50 deals that we, you know, sent offers to. And, you know, in the beginning, we didn't really know how to analyze them. You know, we got Michael Blank's calculator a lot later on in our multifamily career. We just was like, you know, gross income, you know, net income, right? Additional income. And then we just made our own simple little spreadsheet of expenses and, you know, all right, let's do it. Let's make an offer of, you know, 0.75 of the, you know, of the value and then one at 85 with some owner finance terms. And then, you know, one at 95 with some more owner finance. We didn't, honestly, like we were not underwriting them properly, but, you know, we slowly started sharpening the knife, right? And you know, some owners were like, dude, you're crazy. I'm not going to take that offer. And now that I'm thinking about it, like if I were to go back to those deals, I'd probably get a lot more deals under contract if you would have had a sharper axe. But I mean, that's just the journey, right? It's the process.
So when you're going through this process, did your mentor, had he been through this process before? Was this new for both of you?
So, my mentor helped me a lot on the, like, finding deals, right? So for what he taught me on helping me find deals for houses, I still implement, like, to finding off-market apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. Like, I still implement it, right? I mean, thinking creatively, thinking outside the box, getting these deals, not just, you know, talking to brokers or realtors. I mean, it's really an art. And I think he helped me a lot on, you know, the ability to find these deals. But another mentor, you know, that I guess was kind of like a virtual mentor to me was, you know, Brad Sumrock. A lot of people, you know, have his courses and stuff. But he helped me a lot thinking about like the number side, right? What multifamily investing could do for you and in a short period of time within 2 to 5 years. Literally can change the course of your life. Yeah. And help you retire. So, you know, as far as all that goes, like I had just never thought that I was going to be in multifamily. Like, I had no idea. But, you know, just believing in myself, you know, that's all I needed. And just, you know, me and my partner having each other's backs and being accountable for each other really, you know, helped us like learn stuff on our own. And of course we bought those little $200 programs, $300 programs of like little underwriting, you know, basics and stuff. And that helped us. It helped us a lot. So
what do you think has been one or two things that has led to your success?
You know, hustle, right? Desire, like how bad do you want it? Like how big, I mean, it's one of the first chapters of Think and Grow Rich is desire, right? I mean, you have to have a burning desire for what you want. I mean, no one's going to have that desire for you. No one's going to, you know, be motivated for you. Like you have to wake up every day and figure out what you need to do in order to get to where you want to go. Right. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, I want to retire my parents. I want to, you know, have an abundance of money. I want to travel. But, you know, are your daily habits, you know, every day backing it up, right? Are you waking up early? Are you going to sleep, like, you know, sometimes late, right? I mean, doing some things you need to do for the next day, desire, I mean, how bad do you want it? And for me, I want it real bad, man. Like, I want it real bad. I'm not letting anything stop me, you know, and hopefully, you know, that kind of rubs off on people. And
you know, what do you think pushes you to want that so badly? What is behind all that?
So, I mean, one of my big goals, and, you know, one thing that, you know, I truly do this for is for the ability to live, you know, financially free, right? To where money is coming in every month. You know, no matter where I'm at in the world, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm with, I can spend more time with my family. I can spend more time with, you know, like people that actually mean something to me. And, you know, a big thing for me is I love to scuba dive. So I want to be able to travel and scuba dive and reap in the cash flow of these apartment buildings. I mean, it's just the scalability of this business is really, you know, really good and really high. And I think I'm super fired up about that. And yeah, man, I mean, just the ability to really do whatever I want with whoever I want at whatever time I want. I mean, it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah. And really, you know, it's a lifestyle and it's a way, and it's a much better way to live. And it's also a way that you can then free up your time to then make massive change, massive impact, like make something happen in the world and use your time and money and resources to make that happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some of these apartments that we're, you know, renovating and repositioning, I mean, we're really, you know, revitalizing the community that people live in. Right. I mean, people come up to me all the time, like, I love what you're doing. You know, I want to stay here longer. I feel so much more at home. You know, the old owners, you know, didn't really care about it. They wouldn't fix this hole in the wall or this mold issue. Like, I mean, when we go in there and really like change, you know, and revitalize where someone lives, like that really, I mean, that's a big deal, you know, and I get in my car late at night. And I mean, when someone comes up to me and says something like that, I mean, dude, it makes my day. It makes my day because it's bigger than you. You know, when you get to the point where you realize that it's not just about you, that's really when, you know, I think like the true passion, you know, hits and the true meaning of life, you know, and it just makes you go a lot harder and actually be like, you know, grateful for things and what's the blessings in your life and stuff, you know. But
what do you think is one principle or one value that you didn't know to be true before but now you believe wholeheartedly in?
Man, I always say this to everybody. The biggest resource is being resourceful. Like, I think the best skill that you can have and develop is being resourceful, because then at that point, like, you don't need all the resources. Like, you don't necessarily need to read the right book. You don't need the right tool. You don't need the right person. When you really truly like blame everything when you put it on you, That's when your excuses just fly out of the window. Like, everything just, you know, goes out. And it's when you start blaming yourself for your own success, that's truly when I think that, you know, things start to change, right? And so I truly believe that the biggest skill you can have is being resourceful.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I think that goes back to like, do whatever it takes mindset. You know, do whatever you need to do, be the person you need to be, or take care of the task you need to take care of. Like, nothing is below you. And it is all on your shoulders, and it's your responsibility. Ultimately, your success or failure rides on you and you alone.
Absolutely. And a lot of people like to blame the outside factors just so they can have an easy way out. And, you know, I think you just got to kind of come to reality and say, no, it's your fault. Like, everything that's happening in my life right now is my fault. You know, it's solely my fault. And so I think that's when things really start to change, you know. I mean, just figure it out. Do whatever it takes.
So walk me through a little bit of what is in store next for Adrian as far as goals and things that you want to achieve or things you desire.
Absolutely. So definitely want more units. Definitely want to acquire more units this year. My partner and I's goal is 250 units syndicated this year, one wholesale deal every quarter. We also want to purchase an apartment complex, just us two, no syndications. Cause I mean, we've realized that there's a lot of meat left on the bone. I mean, a lot of, we split the pie a lot, especially in syndications, but that's a good way to get started. Right. And so we definitely want to purchase one on our own. I want to continue traveling. I want to continue, providing for my family. And impacting lives around me. I want to also be able to help people get started, in real estate and be able to like be a coach for somebody. And just like, my coaches were for me, I feel like I need to give back as well. Continue to scuba dive everywhere. I actually need to make my scuba dive trip here within the next few weeks. So I wanted to dive every time I close a deal, and I just closed in recently, so I need to get out there and get in the water.
I love that. I love how you, and that's a great lesson for everybody listening, is tying a reward to, closing a deal is already a reward within itself. But you can tie a reward to an action or completing a goal. And I think that's powerful to get your mind thinking, probably the next deal we close will probably buy a new car. Same thing. It's like, things that you want, just delay them until you get a certain goal done. And that way you're even more incentivized, and it just makes it exciting and fun and unique, and creates a fun experience that you tie with completing your goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you're able to like feel that, like, for example, when I went to, I went traveling in Thailand, Southeast Asia for, 2 months. Now I can, if I think back as far, like when I'm cold calling apartment owners, let's say, I know why I'm doing it, because I can smell like Thailand. I can smell the beaches I was at. I could, relate to the places that I went to that'll just drive me a lot harder and a lot more, a lot faster towards, me making that next call, like make 10 more calls, like make 20 more calls, just so I could like get to that next place that I want to go, and I truly, like, if you can do it, if you can travel, if you can do whatever you want to do, do it. It's going to help you in the long run, because this is pretty stressful, this business. So, if you're able to get out there and, enjoy yourself for a little bit, I think it'll help you, in your business,
Yeah. And I completely agree. I think it's amazing to be able to tie that, like you said, exactly, like that feeling, that emotion, that like you literally feel that little rush within you when you think about, hey, these calls, this work that I don't really want to be doing directly, like you don't really want to be making those calls, but you enjoy the process enough, and you tie that process to the end result or the goal or the byproduct that is going to create the life that you want. And then it makes every second of it worth it.
Absolutely. You'll go through the no's. It's just, the no's are going to come, and just by being able to tie all that, it's going to help you just make that next call and have the same attitude that you had when you made that call, even if they told you no on the next call. It's the process, it's the journey.
So yeah. What, do you set any goals that are, like, when you're setting your goals, do you ever do anything on the process side of it, of saying like, we're going to make X number of calls today?
Oh yeah. We started to implement, I implemented Traction about a couple of years ago. But this year we're going to ramp it back up. And so we have our scorecards, we have our, all that is all graphed out. If we're not sending, 1,000 postcards a week, there's something going on. So it's like, yeah, we want 250 units, but we got to reverse engineer it to say, all right, so what does that mean? Right. So 250 units. All right. What are we going to be paying per door for these units? Say roughly 50, 60, 70K per door. So then, what's going to be the down payment? What's going to be more or less, the repair and reserve? What's going to be the capital expenditure amount? So how much money are we going to need to raise, right? So then you start going backwards and you start saying, okay, then that means I need to raise $4.2 million this year if I want 250 units. And then you go back a little bit more. So how many events do I need to be going to, you know, and how many people do I need, how many business cards do I need to be getting? How many phone calls do I need to be getting on? And not only that, but the acquisition side. So how many, you know, postcards do I need to be sending a week? How many cold calls do I need to be making a week? And not just me, how many people do I need to have making cold calls every week? You know, and so like you just start backtracking it and you start tracking it, right? And you know, you and your business partners or whoever you have next to you, you know, hold each other accountable to that. You know, why did 500 postcards only go out this week? Do we not have the money to fund it? Okay, let's go find the money. We need to send 1,000 postcards a week, right? So just sticking to your metrics, I think is really important. For those of y'all who haven't read Traction, I highly recommend it. I don't know if you've read it, Evan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we use. That's our operating system for Holiday Ventures as well. And I highly recommend it for everybody. It's a game changer. It changes the way you think about a business, how it operates, your meetings, how you source people, how you source partners, how you structure your company, how you set your goals, like everything. And I did want to ask you for your metrics, you mentioned like 1,000 postcards a week. What are some of examples of some of your other metrics that you keep track of on a weekly basis?
The amount of cold calls every week. So it's the amount of cold calls, the amount of postcards, the amount, those are our two main deal sourcing, metrics for that.
Right.
Now, as far as like our property management company, you know, how many, you know, let's say evictions are we doing? How many new, you know, residents are we bringing into the complex? Are we able to make our, you know, rent bumps, you know, on renovations, you know, things like that. Employees, I mean, what are they doing? There's a lot, there's different departments, right? There's the acquisitions, the operations, and, you know, the financial stuff. But I think more of the metrics is being tracked right now on the acquisition stuff. Just because we're really in acquisition mode. All the operational stuff is running pretty smooth. It's just now we want more. So me and my partner keep each other accountable to, like, what are we doing every day? How many follow-ups are we making, right? And how, like, from, you know, the initial conversation with the owner, how many more touches and how often are we making those touches to the owner? Because we've realized that if we don't call them in a month, 2 months, I mean, there's other people calling them. You know, there's other people sending cards. So if you're not in front of them, you know, every 3 days, whether it's an email, whether it's a text, whether it's like a video of your current project you're working on, like something so that they're in their face. That's also another metric that we track. And I think it's going to really, really help us this year, you know, acquire more deals.
That's a great point. A follow-up point of contact, keeping in constant touch with them. Because you're right. I mean, especially right now, there's so many people looking for deals. And if you're not top of mind, if you're not top of inbox, then they'll easily forget about you because they're important to you, but you're not always that important to them. So always have that in mind. And something I would ask is how do you keep track of your touches and your follow-ups?
So we use Podio. Podio is a CRM. And, you know, we create tasks and we have, you know, our team members on Podio. You know, we have MailChimp, we have, you know, CallRail. We have a bunch of the softwares that allow us to do that. I think it's very hard to track all of our leads just on pen and paper. And so it automatically creates tasks for us and assigns the task for the right person to just pick up the phone and call. So we use Podio a lot. And it notifies us, and Podio is pretty much our database. Like it's just, I mean, that's where all of our investors are. That's where all of our, you know, contacts are, our vendors, contractors, you know, sellers, everything. And I mean, it gets easily filled up with, you know, 500 leads and you have to stay on top of them somehow, some way. If you need to hire somebody else, you need to stay on top of me and my partner. We're cold calling again, following up with owners. And, you know, there was an owner that was pretty motivated to sell a month ago and he sold it. He sold a 20 unit building and he flew to like Canada and he moved to Canada. And it was just like, dude, what, like, how did we not call him? How did we not remember? You know,
yeah.
And you can miss out on a lot of deals if you don't follow up. It's super important.
Yeah. And I think the, you know, the same similar things happen to me. And I think it's a good, it's kind of like a, what do you call that? Like almost like a wound or something, you know, it's like, it's a good reminder, like a scar of like, hey, like every time you drive by that deal, now you think about, you're like, hey, that was because I didn't follow up. And then again, it goes back to like taking ownership, saying that was my fault. I should have followed up. That's a deal we could have had. And that's the worst feeling, especially if you're, you know, a hungry driven real estate investor, like that's the worst feeling, but it drives me, I'm sure it drives you to say, hey, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that does not happen again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I think you know, one big thing about us is delegation, right? We try to do everything, you know, hey, you know, we need a call, we need to make the follow-up, you know, because we know more about apartment investing, we need to be the ones, you know, having the language with the owners. But I think at that point, that's when you really get overwhelmed and you start, you know, end up not doing it. So I think, you know, one thing for us this year is having a couple of acquisitions guys helping us with, you know, all that stuff, because I mean, we already have a lot on our plate and we like to focus on the highest level, you know, producing income, producing activities. So I think really, you know, when we got the call, just like you were saying, we really sat down and we're like, dude, like this cannot happen. This cannot be happening, especially if we have these goals. And, you know, it's just, they were already in our system. We already had their phone number. They already knew who we were. We had their email. Like we knew where they lived. I had the daughter's number. I had the mom's number. Like, you know, so, I mean, there's really no excuses other than just like not staying dedicated to that lead, that particular lead. And,
yeah.
But I mean, that's how you go improving your systems, right? That's the ideal part of building a business.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I feel like you're bringing massive value, straight crushing it at a very young age. So props to you, man. Really, really appreciate everything. All the value bombs we're bringing on today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm fired up. Thank you. Thanks for having me on here, bro.
Yeah, man. Well, let's jump into our monumental questions.
Cool.
What does success mean to you?
Success means to me, you know, being able to, like I said earlier, kind of, you know, do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, wherever I want to do it, with whoever I want to do it with, and be able to take, you know, people that I care about with me along the way, right? And it's really not about the money for me. It's about what it provides, right? What that does. Like to me, $100,000 doesn't mean anything. To me, what means something is what that $100,000 is going to do, right? How is it going to make you feel? What are you going to do with it, right? How many lives can you impact with $100,000? You know, it's not about the money for me, and it's really about the options that I can have. You know, success is to me is, you know, options, having options and, you know, being able to do, you know, whatever I wish to do whenever, wherever. There's so much to explore in this world.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm 24 right now. Hopefully I can, you know, keep traveling from 30 and on, you know, and not worry about money. Like a lot of people, you know, that's like one of the main reasons divorces happen is because of money. Like it's just, there's a way out. I promise. There's a way out. You just really have to, you know, put your head down and work. You know, you got to work. It's like Gary Vaynerchuk says, like you're 24, dude, you could work and fail for the next 7 years of your life, 8 years of your life and get up and still have a chance to go at it again, you know? And it's just one of those that like, you know, just take massive action and do it big. There's no other way.
I love it, man. You're wise beyond your years. So what about morning habits or daily rituals?
So daily rituals, I like definitely go to the gym. I like going to the gym. It helps with, you know, releasing stress and just kind of, you know, mental clarity. I like to, you know, jump in the water and do some laps. And I also like to read a lot. I listen to a lot of, you know, audio tapes, especially, you know, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, just because they always, like, I can listen to the same Tony Robbins tape and I can learn something new on one of it. And there's always something going on, you know, in my life that you know, I might not have heard, you know, on his podcast or video, you know, one time and hear it and it really actually resonates within me the second time or third time that I listen to it. So
right.
I'm really addicted to personal development because that's what's going to get me to that next level. And that's what's going to allow me to, you know, take the nose and, you know, just really grow as a person, because you can only grow your portfolio to as big as, you know, you are, right? I mean, there's a level, there's a barrier that if you don't keep growing, like you're everything outside will stop growing, you know?
Right.
Personal development's one big thing about me, and I love to do it at nights before I go to bed. So those are some habits that I like to do and I implement. Again, I probably need to work on a little bit better of, like, you know, morning routine. I know that what's that book by that morning?
The Miracle Morning.
The Miracle Morning. Yeah, a lot of people recommend it, so I need to pick it up. But
highly recommend that. Have you been to Tony Robbins? Any Tony Robbins events?
Yeah, so I went to some of his real estate seminars, like the. But he only came on for like 4 or 5 hours. But still, I mean, those just seeing him live, and you know, I've been listening to him since I was 16. So it's just seeing him when I was like 22, 23 was a huge deal. Like, he didn't even have to say anything.
And yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. But I do want to go to his Unleashed Power. And
yeah, you know, highly recommend that event.
So
that's awesome, man.
Fire.
Yeah, exactly. So what about favorite book or book you're currently reading?
So How to Make Big Profits with Small Apartments is the one that I picked. That's my first book for the year. Right now, I think, like, one thing about me right now is I'm trying to stack up enough money to be able to put, let's say, for, you know, earnest money deposits on these bigger deals, and to have more, you know, leverage on, you know, it's like putting money down or just having liquid down. So that book talks a lot about, you know, wholesaling small apartments where you can make six-figure assignment fees. And so that really will, you know, jump my career to be able to not worry about money for a little bit and truly stick to, you know, acquiring more syndications and stuff. So that's a really good book that I'm reading right now. And the next one's going to be Rich Dad Babylon that I'm going to pick back up, because those habits there, I think, will really change my career. Just implementing all that stuff. I picked it up last year, but I want to pick it back up again. So that's going to be the next one.
Yeah, I love it. Well, crushed it today. Love this episode. I know our listeners are going to get a lot out of it. I appreciate you, Adrian. How can our listeners follow you or reach out to you?
So I'm pretty active on Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram, Adrian Salazar. And I post a lot of, you know, stories there on, you know, the properties we're renovating and what we're doing. And I try to, you know, remember to post things. So that's probably where I'm a little bit more active. Again, Facebook, but I would suggest Instagram. So those of y'all who want to connect, just reach out on Instagram. I'd love to chat.
Yeah. Take them up on that. and in conclusion, guys, if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share it on social media, tag Adrian, tag myself, let us know you're listening. Let us know what you thought of today's episode. Let us know, like, a value bomb or something that stuck out at you. And guys, don't forget as well to subscribe, rate, and review Monumental on iTunes. And with that, have a monumental day.